This is Blood and Firewater, a true crime comedy discussion type podcast. We shoot tequila and we chase it with a case of murder. Just as a disclaimer, this podcast contains mature content not suitable for all ages, so listener's discretion is advised. I am your host, Rashad, and I would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning into the show. We promise not to be insensitive to the victims and respect their families. However, we will poke fun at other persons, places, and things involved with the case. We're not professionals, and we don't pretend to be.
Yeah, yeah. But go ahead, I'm sorry. What kind of jokey joke?
It's a joke. It's just a joke. It's a joke about people from up north. Specifically, Brooklyn. But it also pertains to what we're talking about tonight. But not really. We'll kind of, sort of. So the joke, if I haven't ruined it already, is people say people from Brooklyn curse a lot, but they don't mean to. Like certain words are adjectives to them. Like when I was in college, I was in a history class with a friend of mine from Brooklyn.
Right.
And the professor was talking about when Argentina attacked the Falkland Islands. So like my friend was like, "Yo, professor, what Falkland Islands are you talking about?" And the professor was like, "You know, I don't think you understand." He was like, "No, I don't think you understand. What Falkland Islands are you talking about?" I asked you a question. I need to know what to put on the test. What Falkland Islands are we talking about? There's islands everywhere. By the way, there's only one Falkland Island. But
I don't know. From what it sounds like, there's a lot of Falkland Islands. But that's just me.
I don't know why that's so funny. So, hello. Sorry. We didn't see you there. Welcome to Blood and Firewater, a true crime discussion type podcast. I'm your host, Rashad. Over there, as always, is Dre.
Hello.
Today, we are talking about David Berkowitz, or the Son of Sam, or the 4-4 Bulldog. Goddamn, bow, bow, bow. Like, that's it. Okay, first off, he is probably the most feared out of, like it's one thing to, you know, be a victim of Dahmer, and, you know, at least you got a drink, you got a couple drinks, you got high, he chopped you up and ate you. Alcala, he kind of swooned you over. He might have smashed, killed you, smashed again, killed you again. Like, but there was, like, you were attracted to him at some point. This man would just run up on your car with the biggest handgun they make and get on his haunches. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got a...
That's a hard point.
Like, yeah, like, wah! Like, and get in your face with the biggest gun you've ever seen and then blow a hole through your shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty gruesome. And then he ain't sticking around. He, like, left immediately. Like, there ain't no doing no weird shit with nobody. At least he left the body. Sometimes, in some of these cases, there was no body. I mean, there was nobody. I don't know how you... I haven't nailed how you should say that when there was nobody. But, you know, it's whatever. I'm not worried about it.
Wasn't a body present?
No, there was a body present. All right. So what I'm getting at is we've covered some really bad guys this season. But some of the words that have not come up this season are, like, words like manhunt, satanic cult, and, well, a virgin, because all of these serial killers have been well versed in the world of sexual penetration. And the person on the docket that we're going to talk about tonight was responsible for one of the largest manhunts in New York history. He's a leading source into one of the biggest serial killer conspiracies, and the only guy in New York that hasn't gotten any. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Son of Sam, the 44 caliber killer, David Berkowitz. But if this is your first time listening, welcome. This season, we're going down an imaginary list of some really bad guys in the true crime universe. Okay, my kid fell in the toilet just now. We're giving them a rating on our FGG scale, and at the end of it all, we're going to see who was the best, worst serial killer. Because of Ed Kemper, we had to add more numbers, but it's fine. After you hear this, No, we're not changing. We're not changing it anymore. We're not changing it anymore. Okay. Second, we have a new segment of the show called the What's Poppin' Report. Since a lot of these guys operated before any of us were around to talk about it, we hand the mic to Dre so he can tell us what was going on in the year. Okay, what is my kid doing? In the year our killer or killers were apprehended. We've shifted it to the end of the episode as sort of a palate cleanser because after reading The Room, we kind of wanted to leave our audience on a happier note. It's just like, her legs were cut off. His head was cut off. His hands were cut off. His neck was cut off. See you next week. And I don't want to do that no more. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, it just made me sad. Like, after we get done recording, I'm like, I could probably have talked about something else right before going to sleep. Lastly, if you'd like to come be a bloody, check out our Patreon. We have stickers and keychains made by yours truly, and as we get closer to spring, I'll navigate through my garage to unearth my screen press, and we'll have more. I'll be able to do more, like tote bags. I don't know. Are people still wearing masks? Are you wearing a mask anymore? Or
no, not really. But I don't really leave my house.
Okay. Well, I guess like there are people like I would wear, like my job makes me wear a mask. I mean, they don't make me, but like they're like, if you want to wear it, you can. I guess, is that enforcing it? Like, is that how China people in China feel? Just like, or is it like China law? You have to wear a mask. Okay, why did I do that?
Yeah, don't bad taste bubble.
Welcome to Shitty Wop. Okay, so like, and is a mask like law in China because of like, or is it like just something to do because it's so polluted? Does that sound better? Because I could have just did the accent, and I think it would have been as.
We all know that, like, masks, like, overseas, it's a lot more commonplace, especially within, like, Oriental countries. Like, you kind of will see them, like, walking around with masks when they feel like they have some kind of illness of any kind.
What I'm asking is there a way to, like, a year from now, you'll see somebody wearing a mask and be like, what's that weirdo doing? But like a year ago, everybody was doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So like, this is how I feel about basically the mask thing. As far as the food industry is concerned, I absolutely prefer that the people that are preparing my food have something to cover their orifices. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's to say Paul didn't sneeze on your hamburger right before, you know? And then he brought it out to you, and you're like, damn, this is the best damn hamburger I ever ate. You know, he's back there like, you're welcome. You see what I'm saying?
See, now I feel like every time I go into a restaurant and somebody's name is Paul, I'm going to have to fight him. Like, I just feel like this is now going to just be a part of it. You ruined my dining experiences with Paul's. This is on you.
Ironically, that's the same. It's the name of the restaurant. In the Lisa Lamb case. And then that's when we had the whole restaurant ordeal.
The whole what ordeal?
Restaurant.
Restaurant?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. So, okay. Let's reel it in. So I think I got the gist of this guy, David Berkowitz. He just walked up to your car. Blammy, blam, blam. Rain. I've made this a whole thing now. Like, I swear to God, like, it's the funniest. It's not funny, but like, it took a 13-year-old girl to just be like stabby, stab, stab to, you know, make something go viral to me.
Blammy, blam, blam.
Okay. I'm sorry. His operational years were between 1976 and 1977. In that short frame of time, he was able to murder 6 people and wounding 7, including 2 stabbings. He's known as the 44 caliber killer, which to me is the most badass name of them all. I'm not serial killer name shaming because I didn't give him the name, obviously. But, you know, if somebody was going to be like, they're going to give you a serial killer name, you don't want it to be.
I mean,
pussy puncher. That's what I'll.
I want to. How? But.
You wouldn't. If you had a serial killer name, you wouldn't want it to be something soft. You know what I'm saying? Like the 44 caliber killer. That's That's saying a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, if you get like Pussy Puncher 2021, I'm not saying that name doesn't sound too soft to me. Because I'm just like, bro, if he's a serial killer and that's the name that they went with,
Pussy Puncher,
my man must be serious about it. Like, fully.
Yeah.
But that's me. I'm sorry. Please continue.
What I'm saying is, not to glorify it at all, but the boogeyman doesn't do it for me as much as somebody that's going to run up on you with a 44 caliber bulldog revolver and blast you in the face with it. I'm not scared of the boogeyman no more. Like, I ain't worried about him. Like, you got this guy out here just like putting cannonballs through your windshield. I was trying to say rear and windshield at the same time, and rend came out. I don't know.
Your windshield.
Anyway, but it wasn't just that, but how ruthless and random the killings were. Didn't matter if you were in the city that never sleeps, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, it just didn't matter. Either way, he was out hunting all the time. Also foreshadowing, that's going to come up later. His target, women.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably long blonde hair. Preferably long brown hair. Preferably in a car. At night. With a man. In what they called at the time, lovers' lanes. Which is like, you know, you meet a nice young lady. And you can't take her back to your mama house because, you know, she be tripping. So then.
Mama do be tripping.
So you take her to the nearest Ingles parking lot and
classy.
You know, you break out the Magdal 2020. And
some ice house.
Yeah, you show how it really goes down in the DMs, if you know what I mean.
Mm. And if she's really special, y'all put that the Steel Reserve on ice.
Yeah, you break out the styrofoam cooler out the out the trunk with the Steelies. That's what we call them back in the day.
You and the boys.
Me and the boys. Okay, so we're getting off track again. This is going to end up being a three-parter anyway. Like I've been trying so hard to like not make this a three-parter, and then I watched the documentary on Netflix, and it ruined my life. So like, he was messing. Okay, so David Berkowitz, he was messing with police just like the BTK, Dennis Rader. Before there was a BTK inside of the largest city in the world, basically. On top of that, he was able to terrorize the most populated city in America at the time and still to this day. 8 million plus people were literally afraid to go outside. Think of it as if the coronavirus was a person, it would be this guy. A short, pudgy, curly-head, Mona Lisa head-ass, invisible scum of the earth. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus loves him. Yes, I know. But for someone to have been a child of God, a up-and-coming student, a taxi driver, a soldier in the army, an air conditioning repairman, a security guard, no one remembers him. That is very significant to me. No one can just be like, oh yeah, you're talking about David from down the street. We used to go and get hot dogs to get there's none of that. To me,
did you really say hot dog?
Hot dogs. That's definitely not
Long Island.
Long Island. In my opinion, with all that stuff, like nobody remembers him. He was all these different things. You can make that shit up. Like we've been talking about that this whole season. Like some things can be embellished more because the story gets told, like the fisherman's story. The fish gets bigger every time he tells a story.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this shit could be made up. But we, you know, I'm not the one that's going to break this case. So let me just keep on moving on. And in New York City, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of serial killers in New York, including one on the board, Albert Fish, but none as famous as David Berkowitz. Like this is the one that made international news at the time, while in a big city like New York. So, you know, the gabagoo about that. But this case is becoming one of the most twisty, turny cases that I've ever researched. There's a satanic cult big gun, whatever. So let's talk about David Berkowitz for just a second. A smidget of his background, as we do around this time. It's only appropriate, as we're rounding up this serial killer season, to properly formulate your number for the FTG scale, you must know the killer or killer's background. Also included in that scale are the following: method of murder, how many bodies, method of hiding bodies, method of hiding themselves, how long they were able to get away, mental health, and last, their judicial sentence. That's the criteria on wax. That's what we're going with. So back to Berkowitz. He was born June 1st, 1953, but little did you know, he was not born David Berkowitz, but Richard David Falco in Brooklyn, New York, to Betty Broder and Joseph Kleinman. Okay, so super early. All right, I'm going to go ahead and just ruin this kid's career. The birth certificate thing gets a little weird. It gets a little messy. I'm going to be throwing a lot of long-winded names at you, so just try and keep up. If you happen to think this case is confusing, it's because it is. But that's why I'm here, to clear up any confusion. You got any questions, you want me to stop, rewind, fast forward, whatever. If after this you are still confused, then you just will be. I can't help you. Don't watch the Netflix documentary either. Stay away from that. Now, don't think this case is going to take forever to cook either, because the murders start when he was just 24 years old. There's not a shit ton of backstory. Like I said, nobody remembers him. He never had any kids. You know, he never had any just legit family to talk about, because, oh well, I'm going to go right into that right now. Betty was married to a guy named Tony Falco.
Mm-hmm.
They had a daughter. They ran a fish store. Tony split. They never got divorced. Then Betty starts fucking around with this Kleinman guy. Now, this is 13 years later after she split with her fisherman husband, Tony. She gets knocked up. He tells her to 86 the kid. She has the kid anyway, puts Falco's name as the last name instead of Kleinman. Bada bing. Richard David Falco was adopted days later after birth by Nathan and Pearl Berkowitz, a Jewish couple from the Bronx. They switched his name around. Now he's David Berkowitz. Bada boom. Adoption stuff's going to come up later. Severe emotional scarring is going to happen right now. Now, growing up, Berkowitz, from what I heard, he's just like his parents, or his adoptive parents, whatever you want to call them. They were quiet, reclusive people, good people, but very private. They also told David that his mom died.
Okay, we just throw that right in there? Oh, by the way, your mom was hit by a bus. Like,
bada boom. Hey, your mom got hit. Like, what do you want me to do?
She was like, I'm walking here.
So the Berkowitz were hardware store retailers. They owned a store or whatever. They lived very modestly, and baby Berkowitz was not a bad kid at the very beginning. Very beginning.
Okay.
Like 2, 3. He was a husky firebug, though, and a kleptomaniac. But come on. Sex is great and all, but have you ever just like stared at an open fire? Yeah.
I don't like how you're like licking your lip and stuff. Why you said that to me?
I don't think you've seen the kind of fires I've set. Seen. I shouldn't.
Okay.
Anyway, so bad kid coming up. Like to steal. Like to start fires. Red flags. Nothing a couple ass whoopings wouldn't fix in my family, but oh well. Tyler Berkowitz's behavior would continue to decline, and others from the neighborhood would describe him in later years as difficult, spoiled, and a bully. He liked to, on the contrary, take long bike rides on the countryside and rock climb. Reverse. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be reverse.
Wait,
maybe
what?
I typed rock climbing reverse. Maybe it's supposed to be retreats. But the confusing part... Reverse! So the confusing part is that he was not dumb, though. He scored a 118 on the IQ test, which is up there with Kemper. So we're dealing with some TLC motherfuckers. It's like crazy, sexy, cool. That's an insane level of intelligence, considering that the average on many tests, a score of 100 is, you know... Hey, that's where we're all about at. I don't know how. Where do you go and take like a legit like standardized IQ test. Like, you can take the ones online. It's just like, what color is blue? And it's like, you're a genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of answer is that? You're not going to get 100 with answers like that.
I'm
going to
get 102.
68% of scores fall within one standard deviation of the mean, that is, between 85 and 115. That means nearly 70% of all people score within plus or minus 15 points of the average score. The problem was, when he was finally able to make the decision to go to school, he didn't. All he had to do was throw a temper tantrum and then adoptive mommy's there to save the day. But it didn't stop, you know, petty larcenies. Pyromania. Harming small animals. That sort of thing. That the stuff you start to worry about a little bit, I guess. They're all warning signs of a serial killer, by the way. And in a child, whatever, fuck it. He's a kid, and low-key, when you think about it, everybody's kid you've ever met, hear me out, every kid outside of your own seems kinda like a serial killer. I'm not even, all right, Aiden.
Moving right along.
All right. Then his adoptive mother, Pearl, died of breast cancer in 1967 when Berkowitz was 14. They were close, obviously. He was devastated, so he took it kind of hard. That's two dead mamas. I mean, he's unaware of the first one, but... Oh, wait, no, he's fully aware of the first one. And then he's got two dead mamas. Like, what the fuck? Like, obviously, somebody don't want him, and it's mamas. And at this time, at a very formidable age, too, where a mother's love is extremely necessary, especially if you're struggling with, like, your math, talking to girls, especially if you're not getting along with your adopted daddy either. And boy, was he wasn't. But the loss to Pearl made the situation a lot more tense. To make matters worse, he disliked his new step adopt-a-mom even more than he disliked his adopted dad after he remarried in 1971. Okay, that was weird to read. By the way, he thought that the death of adoptive mom, the second one, well, the real one, obviously, but the second one, he was like, this is a master plan by somebody to, you know, break him down as a person, and evil forces caused his mom to get cancer. So, like, you know, that is totally logical. Like, is that possible? Like, could you, is that something that, I don't think so. And then the other thing that kind of threw me off was, like, when you're adopted by somebody and then one of them gets widowed and then they remarry, like, does the law just, like, kind of carry over to the new kid? Because, like, you didn't even know this kid and neither did they. And now you're a parent of this child. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I would figure it would be like if you were marrying somebody that already had children.
Yeah, but that ain't even his DNA, though. Distant cousins. How about that? Like, you can call, like, hey, cuz.
It'll make it a little bit awkward when you know that your cousin is laying down with your adoptive father every night.
So, could you, in theory, sleep with your mother?
I mean, that's not really... you can
not
do that
your,
at any
mom,
point.
Right?
I mean, there's nothing theoretical about that.
Okay. I'm doing research for another podcast. There was a move to Co-op City, short for Cooperative City, a cooperative housing development located in the northeast section of the borough of the Bronx in New York City. I don't know, like 20-some-odd months after his mother's death, and, you know, same old shit going on at the house. Dad was struggling, keeping the business open, working long hours. Berkowitz is just staying his creepy ass in the house. He's not doing anything, so... You know what he did. Ch-ch-ch-ch-chia. Yeah, he did. It wasn't long after that Berkowitz joined the army in 1971 and 1974. You know, to get some fresh air, which is something just about all of these serial killers have done. Like, they're all, like, they all have the military in common, so, like, WTF, bro. They all either got jacked, became good marksmen, or thought they were secret agents. I don't know. Apparently, the military is a good place to practice your fantasies before coming back and terrorizing your own neighborhood. But before that, he was already trained up as an auxiliary firefighter and a police officer, so bonus XP. So during the Vietnam War, he was stationed in Korea, so he saw no combat. Like most of the serial killers on the board, the only combat he went through was inside of his own head. He was cited frequently, and the dreams of a soldier's life was not fit for the young adult Berkowitz, at least while in Korea. He claimed that he was doing drugs and having sex the entire time, but there was absolutely no proof of that. Not one half and half has come forward in the history of Vietnam to say that that's my daddy. There's not one prostitute over there because there are many. There's no one over there that can point him out. They, you know, they live to be like 100 and something. There's none over there that can point him out and tell me that she loved him long time. If she did, I can guarantee you it wasn't that long.
There you go.
Double entendre though. I'm sorry. If this is your first time, welcome. Hey, how you doing? I'm Rashad, and every single one of my episodes have triple and quadruple meanings, along with multiple word associations. Like most bomb-ass movies, you'll have to listen to all of the episodes like 3 or 4 times to catch all of the things that I put in all of them. Also, that's going to come up later as well. This case may just be a 3-parter. I'm so sorry, but I'm not sorry at the same time. Anyway, Berkowitz is in the army. No real friends, which is, I mean, like everybody. The thing about being the quiet kid is there's at least one other one, and then he was like, nah, I'm good.
Quiet kid's like, oh, I don't remember him.
But anybody that will listen, Berkowitz is telling them about all these girls he's smashing and drugs he's doing, when in reality the only addiction he had was masturbation. Theoretically, he's having sex with a lot of girls by himself, but it begs the question, do you think of the same person when you masturbate, you know, or do you go after a certain type? They have categories on most porn sites for a reason. I mean, you can get down to the specifics, like I only want their left nipple pierced and I want it to be inverted and also brown and like missing 3 toes, and it'll be like, oh, you mean Cindy. Yeah, we got her, like we got her just for you. This isn't the time or place for this conversation. Come check out our Patreon, because that's where we talk about stupid stuff like this. 1973, Berkowitz is back in the United States, and he's doing okay at best. His military performance improved, he's eating, he's made some friends, not real friends, like Facebook kind of friends, but you know, like if someone checks your profile and you have like 0 friends and they're like, aw, like, and then they just add you. So yeah, those are the friends he has. But the comeback stateside hit Berkowitz different, and he got super religious. And maybe because of all of those crazy nights with him and his hand underneath the nicotine coated walls of his bunk when he was stationed in Kentucky, all that shit changed. And what did I say about when all these serial killers go hard in the paint about something, it goes super dark. Every time. But that's just what the South does to you, you know. Up north, he wasn't practicing Judaism, but we're talking about practice. He wasn't just about that life.
So we're talking about practice.
Yeah, he ain't talking about practice. He never attended the formal instructions of Judaism. It's basically where you go to learn and read and write Hebrew and stuff like that. The history of your people, all that jazz that we didn't learn about from our ancestors because, So Berkowitz got a hard-on for Jesus.
Okay, cut.
So Berkowitz caught the Holy Ghost. Is that better? He had to be going to the only black church in Kentucky. I take that back, because the church he went to was a Baptist church. The catching of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, that gets a little dodgy. So let's just leave Jesus out of this episode, like, completely. You know, he got super into Jesus. And I mean, that's fine. It's fine to get real down with the Jesus.
With the Jesus?
Yeah. Down with the sickness. Come up down with Jimmy. I don't know if he's saying words on that part.
He's not.
Okay.
No way. There's no way. I mean, he just went in there and he just felt it.
I mean, and that's what Berkowitz did. He went in that church in Kentucky, and they hit him with the Jesus juice, and, you know, we're going to leave it at that, because I don't need that smoke. So he gets honorably discharged in 1974.
Did they say for what?
Honorably discharged?
Yeah.
For being honorable, I guess.
Okay. Just making sure.
So he finds his birth mother. Mater. He finds his birth mater. this is one of the more significant things that, you know, they say that he did, because, like, I believe he was in one of those group home things, and he told him, he was like, yeah, you know, my mom's dead, and that's what my adoptive mom told me, and then now she's dead, so I can't really get any more information. And everybody in the group chat was like, she's lying, bro. I know she's dead. No disrespect. No disrespect, but, like, your mom's lying. He was like, all right, I got to do some digging. Let me dig and found it. And I imagine he just, like, looked in a phone book or something like that. And, like, he got a name from somebody and was like, okay, she lives in right down the street from me or something like that. So he finds her. They start kicking it. He finds out he has a sister. He's like, oh, finally somebody that I can't have sex with and feel bad about. But he's not having sex with anybody. So that's not even really a joke, because it's not real. It's getting carried away.
Oh, you're getting deep in this one.
He discovers, like, the family he never had. And, you know, things are going pretty still disturbing for him. Because, like, at this point in time, he's setting, like, fires everywhere. The reason why we know this is because he wrote everything down about these fires that he was just setting. Like, he would write down what kind of gas he used, how many fires did he individually set, where it was, how long it burned before the police showed up, how long it took them to put it out, like, detailed notes of every fire, and it was like 1,000 fires, so, like, long time. And then after a while, the communication between him and his, I was about to say baby mama, birth mother, later that started to not go over so well, and his half-sister, Rosalind, you know, they didn't continue to communicate. And then in 1976, he starts working as a taxi driver in Co-op City. And he subsequently had several jobs around this time, like I mentioned earlier. The job that he had before he decided to go down the psychopath was a United States Postal Service mail sorter. Very lucrative job. I think he was making like 50, like, I can't remember what he was making then, but I know it equates to like 50 grand now, you know what I mean? So he was all right, you know what I mean? Like, he had his own place at by this point in time, he had his own place. Like, I think his dad helped him get his own apartment or something like that, and then his dad moved to Florida and he was like, deuces, and that was it. Like, so had, like, his whole family was, you know, either estranged, or they just dipped on his ass, or they died, or they make-believe died. You got to take all these other moving parts into consideration with the fact that she's already crazy, and he knows how to shoot weapons because he was trained in the military. So, and then he liked to hurt animals, and he never really actually learned how to talk to a woman, because all the women in his life either fake died or real died. What I'm building this up to is the fact that this is the end of part one. We're gonna go, part two is gonna be the murders, plural, and then part three will be the I'm gonna sit your ass down and I'm gonna make you watch the Sons of Sam documentary, and then you tell me what you think, because I don't know what to think anymore. My brain hurts. So this is the end of the episode. Cut. Bro, I was sitting there watching that documentary, and it, like, I legit dead ass fell asleep. Woke up, it was still on. I was like, bro, how do you expect me to sit here and watch this whole thing? And, like, it was only on, like, episode 3. You know what I mean? So, like, I couldn't get through it. And then I was talking to Kayla, and she was like, what is it about? And I was like, I don't know. I fell asleep at the part where he started killing German shepherds. She was like, what? I was like, yeah, I heard something about German shepherds getting killed. And then I kind of dozed off. And she was like, I can't watch. And I was like, yeah, I probably won't turn it back on either. But now I have to. So, and I suggest anybody that is, if you're into conspiracy theories, serial killers, that's the one to watch. Catch us next week. We're doing the pickup when David Berkowitz starts pop, lock, and dropping. And yeah, that's it. See you next week. Bye.